Hallelujah. Contending for the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Great hall of faith, and we've been kind of, you know, continuing with contending, fighting for what belongs to us. Pastor Judy started last week, and I kind of carried that through this morning. See, the apostle said, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And we know that Hebrews 13 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. He's consistent, not like some of us. Amen? And we're wishy-washy sometimes. Yeah, but my God, number one, he doesn't take naps. He just, the Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. When we're asleep, he's watching over us. Isn't that wonderful to know? Praise God. Like that woman I heard in Britain when they were being bombed by the Nazis. This woman decided she wanted to go to sleep, and she loved the Lord. She was a Christian. And so she just didn't worry about it. She just, you know, everybody else was running to the bomb shelters when the air raid sirens were going off. She decided to just go to bed. Hallelujah. She was protected under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. No way. Every bombs are falling on around. She's just sleeping. Glory to God. The Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. Amen? You don't need sleeping pills if you use that scripture. Hallelujah. Melatonin, you know? They say melatonin works opposite. If you get up and there's light and it'll kick in and wake you up or something. I don't know. Whatever. Hallelujah. I like the gospel. Take the gospel. Hallelujah. For everything. It's a multivitamin. It takes care of anything and everything. Hallelujah. So let's look at the hall of faith here. It says, through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Now they conquered. That means there was warfare involved. There was contending involved there. If you read in your Bible reading this year so far, you probably have gotten to the promised land or just about in your Bible reading, depending on what plan you have. And God had given them that land, but the children of Israel, because of an evil heart of unbelief, because they were always trying to second-guess God. They were always trying to, they used their physical senses. Well, you know, and you know the story of the spies that went out and into Canaan land, into the promised land. They came back, and 10 of them had an evil report. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a faith report. Hallelujah. And Joshua and Caleb are the only ones in that generation that made it into the promised land. The rest of them sinned with their mouth, and they did not believe God. God had always said from the very beginning when they exited from Egypt that this is the promised land. I'm taking you to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. They rehearsed it. Moses rehearsed it in their ears. Joshua rehearsed it in their ears. They heard it over and over and over, but it did not take. And see, when we're contending for the faith, the promises of God has got to bypass our head and get down to our hearts. That's the only way that you're going to receive by faith. If it's not down in your heart, your spirit, man, it's only hope. And hope is okay. We need hope. Hope is the anchor. But faith is substance. Faith is tangible. Faith is substance. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is substance of things hoped for. The evidence not yet seen. Where do you perceive evidence at? Your mind, right? Boy, I've got evidence. I'm holding this title deed right here. But see, faith takes it, what you're believing God for, and it settles it. God is true. Let every other man be a liar. Hallelujah. There's no shadow of turning with the Lord. He doesn't change his mind. So if God has promised you healing, praise God, well, you're healed in Jesus' name. Now, it's whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to confess and speak out of your mouth? Hallelujah. Well, you know, the doctors have gone to, you know, medical school, medical science. And you're into science. We know where that's taking us, right? Hallelujah. But see, God's word overpowers, is more important than any words of man. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says there's safety in counsel, and we need to listen, and so on and so forth. But if it's a life and death situation, you need to choose God, God's way. Don't be like the 10 spies that came back. Oh, there's giants in the land. I don't know how this is going to happen. You know, this and that. That one's in charge. You know, we have this party in charge of the government, and nothing's, you know. And just Christians are saying the wrong things. Come on. They're speaking death instead of life. We need to speak light and life. Amen. Into this earth. We have the authority. We read that this morning. If any two shall agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Hallelujah. We are the legislative assembly, the church of Jesus Christ. We make the rules. And these giants of faith, they did something. They made God put them in the book. Amen. Think about that. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto the promises and pulled them into reality. That's what our faith is to do. Latch hold to the promises and pull it into reality. Pull it into substance. Pull it into the tangible realm. You know, that seat that you're sitting in now was not made out of things that were seen. Everything is spiritual. Are you kidding me? You know, everything was spiritual. God is a spirit, and he made the world. He brought into, we're going to read that in just a moment, that how God formed the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. But see, faith fastens onto the promises of God and pulls them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouth of the lions, put out the power of raging fire, and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong. So even in adversity, your faith will give you power to make you strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle. And I'm confessing that over this church. We're going to contend for what God has called this church to be, and you need to contend what God has called you to be, hallelujah, and your family to be, amen, whether it looks like it or not. We are contending. We're fighting. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into the battle array. In other words, when you learn to speak the word of God, you're pulling on the armies of heaven to get involved with what you're dealing with. Hallelujah. I made that statement this morning when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." In my family, in my workplace, in my city, in my country. Hallelujah. Well, along with that declaration, the armies of heaven are being, oh, glory to God. They're being sent. The Bible says that the angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So when you are declaring, and that's what these people that's listed in the hall of faith here in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle. You are not alone. You are not alone in your fight for your health. You're not alone in your fight for prosperity and increase in your life. You're not alone trying to lead your family into righteousness. You're not alone in anything. God is with you, and he's on your side. And amen, this place is full of angels tonight. Come on. Whether you see them or not, they are in this place. We have a packed house. Hallelujah. Well, how about all those empty seats? Well, you might sit on an angel's lap if you go sit in one. You guys, they're here. Amen. Every one of you have at least one, and most of you have two, and if you're a brat, you probably have more than that. Hallelujah. How many of you can contest the fact that God has saved your life more than once? Come on. And you know that there was another being involved in keeping you alive. Seriously. I mean, we can count up all the times when we know that we know that we know that our lives were spared because of angelic presence. Amen? Why are you still here? God has a purpose for you. God wants to use you to learn to use your faith and be like one of these mighty men and women of God in Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. I remember when I was in Arizona that me and one of the, we were going to do a children's church outing, and I was the associate pastor, so me and this friend of mine went to a little town called Altman, Arizona. Look it up. Altman. And it's about the size of what it sounds like. Some oatmeal. No, just kidding. Altman. But it was a few buildings with donkeys around there. It was a mining town, all right? So we took a ride up there, and that's where they had been doing silver mining and so on and so forth. And you could call in and crawl into a little cave there and walk in there, and there was a hole that literally had no end to it. We talk our children's church. Can you believe that? Look down in that hole, and if they were naughty, we threatened to throw them in. But it was a mining thing, so they had holes dug and whatever. But anyway, it was on a hill, and they had a lot of cement. I don't know what you would call it, but there was a rocky hill, and I had cowboy boots on. That's what I wore in Arizona. So my friend was at the bottom, and I was walking down this hill, and I lost my balance. So I was going head over heels, and it, down in the bottom was total cement, blocks, and everything else, and I flipped, and my friend said, "I thought you were dead." But an angel somehow allowed me to land, not on my head. Some of you might think you have a problem now because you landed on your head, but no. But, I look back at that all the time. I mean, it would have been, in the natural, I should not have survived that. Did I get hurt? Yeah, I had a big bruise on my butt. Amen. You thought that was funny, Adam, right? Okay, I won't say that word again. All right. But God saved me. And you know that every one of you have had angels save your life. Just thank God. God, I thank you that you have spared my life many times. Hallelujah. See, faith will do that. Faith will get your angels involved in whatever you are believing God for. Hallelujah. Now, look at James chapter 1, verse 3, the Passion Translation. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things." When your faith is tested, it stirs you up. And again, hallelujah, we're not to give up. Say, "I'm not to give up, but I'm to get stirred up." Amen? It's not a sign for you to quit and give up just because of an evil report or a negative report. See, Joshua and Caleb, they could have sided in with the 10 spies. They would have been popular. They would have went with the crowd. But they wouldn't have made it in the promised land. But they stood their ground. They said, God said. God said that we are well able. God has given this land. We are well able to go in and possess it, not next week, not a month from now, not when we get more spiritual, but right now we can go in and possess that land and conquer any giant, anything, everything that comes in front of us. Because we have been anointed, we've been empowered, and God told us that we could do it. Amen? God has told you that you can do some things. God has told you that by his stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Hallelujah. And you might be going through a battle right now, physically or whatever, but don't pay attention to your symptoms. Pay attention to the word, because that's what's going to change you. Hallelujah. So, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Now, Psalms 27:14 says this. Here's what I've learned through it all. Say, through it all. Some of you have been through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. But be entwined as one with the Lord. Be entwined as one. Do you understand what that means? You and the Lord are one in this thing. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You might be thinking you're going through that battle all by yourself. You are not. There's another one in the fire with you, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And so, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient, but be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Amen. My God is not in the disappointing business. Man will disappoint you. They will lie to you. They will break their promises to you. But I'm telling you what, if God has spoken to you in his word, it is absolutely trustworthy. You can believe it. You can go through any battle that the enemy would bring against you, and you can come out victorious. In fact, you're victorious before you go into it. Amen. You're victorious because Jesus already won the battle. Glory to God. Powerful. But we've got to lean into the promises of God. Be courageous. Be brave. Through it all. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago, Through It All. Yeah, through it all. We go through it all, but we can come out the other side victorious. Hallelujah. Amen? No matter what your through it all has been looking like, glory to God, you can get through in victory in Jesus' name. Let's look in the book of Romans, the Message Bible. All right, chapter 4, verse 17. Now, this is so important to understand. Abraham is what we call the father of faith. We look to him for an example because he believed God in the midst of contradictory circumstances. And that's where some of you are right now. You're in the midst of the fire. You're in the lion's den, man. You're believing God for a way out. Amen. The Lord is your way out. Now, verse 17, it says, we call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made him something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. And Abraham was first named father and then became a father, because he dared to trust in God, to do what only God could do, to raise the dead to life, and with a word make something out of nothing. But when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw. Now, this is so important. He decided, and we have to decide the same thing. He decided not to live on the basis of what he saw, all right, that couldn't be done, but on what God said that he would do. What has God said to you that he would do? Amen? Heal your body, prosper you. You and your household shall be saved. Think about these things. Amen? And so he said, and so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And verse 19, it says, so Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. But in verse 20, it says, he didn't tiptoe around God's promises. I like that. How many Christians tiptoe around God's promises, pick and choose what they think they can believe God for? All right? So it says here, he didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. Amen? One translation says, through contradictory circumstances. It looked hopeless. And some of you have gone through things in your life where it has looked hopeless. To everybody else but you and God, they've seen it as hopeless. But you have said, nope, nope, not today, not today. Hallelujah. It's not hopeless. I have courage because thus saith the Lord. Amen. God has said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to look at that scripture over in the, let me get over here, in the Passion Translation. Amen. In verse 17 of chapter 4, it says, that's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our example and father, for in God's presence he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that do not even exist yet. King James says, calling those things which be not as though they are. Hallelujah. What are you calling your situation? You're calling it as it is, or are you calling it as God says it is? Amen. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. And in spite, verse 19 says, and in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child, and because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. Hallelujah, that's powerful. See, it's not in your ability to perform. It's not in your ability to make things happen. You understand me? It is in God's power. All you have to do is the believing and the saying. The believing and the saying. God will get the job done. If he has to send 1,000 angels down to work with you and to battle and do warfare. If you will just stand on the promises of God in spite of the circumstances. In one translation it says there that because of Abraham's great respect for God's word. How many people disrespect God? And they don't understand. They don't know how they do it. Well, by not believing his word. Because the Bible says God and his word are one. You can't separate God and his word. Amen. God watches and hastens his word to perform it. And when God has given his word, that is the finality. That is it. Hallelujah. See, in Genesis, when God said, light be, light didn't come back to God and question him. God gave the command. And look in the book, first chapter. God said, and he saw. God said, and he saw. God said, and he saw. You've been saying, but what have you been seeing? If you've been seeing the wrong thing, you've been saying the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23. Therefore I say unto you, amen. Well, that's Mark 11, 24, huh? Amen. Praise God. Mark 11:23. If you speak to the mountain, you've got to speak to the mountain and tell it to move. Not doubt in your heart, but believe in your heart that those things will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. That's what Jesus said. And he didn't, you know, he just didn't do it just to make it a nice sermon. He said it for a purpose. He wanted to show the disciples have the God kind of faith. Every one of you sitting here tonight can have the God kind of faith. You got to take God at his word. Amen. I was thinking about that. Contradictory circumstances. You're believing God. You're pushing through. You're contending for your healing. You're contending, but nothing is happening yet. And when I was just starting to learn faith, I grew up in church, Pentecostal church, and we were always taught about the miracles of Jesus. And they didn't say it they weren't for today, but they just didn't tell us how to obtain them. Okay, children's church, I mean, you know, from a baby I grew up and we all the stories, and story of Lazarus and Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, so on and so forth, and that's cool, you know. But when I got old enough and I got some books, say books, hallelujah, sometimes you got to search things out for yourself. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? So I found out that healing was for today, but not only that it was for today, but it was for everybody whosoever could believe. It wasn't the fact that God says, okay, Esther, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to heal you, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to choose Linda over there because for whatever. It's for whosoever, amen, can believe. Peter said, I perceive God as no respecter of persons. So when I was going, learning all of this, I'd got a hold of E.W. Kenyon's books and on two kinds of faith and on two kinds of knowledge, powerful books, sense knowledge and faith, what the difference was. A lot of times we're in mental assent. In other words, we believe. Hello. I shouldn't answer the phone when they ring, huh? That would be, hi, this is Pastor Ed. Glory to God. But what I was saying is that, you know, a lot of times we mental assent. We say we can quote the scriptures, all right? We can say God's will is to heal, that he bore my sicknesses, as he carried my pains, and by his stripes we were healed. But we're not healed. We're mentally assenting to it. In other words, we agree with it, but we're not living it. We're not acting upon it. We're not being courageous. Amen? And going for what God has promised in his word. So what happened was, I was helping my uncle out down in Palm Springs, Desert Hot Springs, on I-10, and I was probably about a couple years before I met Pastor Judy. So I would say I was probably about 24, 25. And I was learning faith. And so I came down with pleurisy. And I don't know how the devil gave it to me. That's all I can say. I don't know how I got it. I was young and in shape and so on and so forth, play tennis all the time. But anyway, that came on me, and honestly, it's so painful, I could not breathe. I couldn't sleep a certain way. I was just in pain, agony. And of course, my aunt and uncle, they were ministers, and they believed for healing, so on and so forth. And I remember she coming, Aunt Wanda, she said, Ed, can I pray for you? I said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I'm going to get this by faith. And I was stubborn. And I know the Bible says, call for the elders of the church, and that's one way to get it. But I was learning faith, and I wanted to prove this thing for myself. So I remember I went to the church. Nobody was there one night, and I must have spent about four hours just doing nothing but complaining. No, just kidding. Hallelujah. Now, I'd read Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, where it says, he bore my sicknesses, he carried my pain, and by his stripes I am healed. And I read it over, and I read it over. And what I was hoping for was that I was going to have a light from heaven shine down and hit my body, and that pain was going to go away, bam, just like that. Come on, God. I don't have to have people lay hands on me. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 8 that himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Jesus, and I was just going on. I was speaking the word. Nothing was happening. I was speaking the word. Finally, I just got tired after about 4 hours. And I remember going home after that. It was probably 11 o'clock at night at that point. And remember, I was in such pain that I could not lay hardly any way on the bed without it taking my breath. And what I'm saying is that we've got to do our part. You know what our part is? Getting into the Word. Keeping the Scripture. And if we get to Proverbs chapter 4, I'm out of time almost. But it says to keep the Word before our eyes because it's health to all of our flesh. Amen? Keep it in our eye. Keep it before our eyes. Keep it in our mouth. Speak the word of God consistently. And the thing is that we look for a change. We look for something. But what happens is when that word, the word is a seed. See, that night for 4 hours I was planting seed. I was hoping for a harvest. All right, during the time I was planting the seed, I was wanting one of those instant things. Hallelujah. Come on, instant thing. And yet that whole night, I was doing nothing but the Word of God. I wasn't even reading testimonies. We didn't have YouTube. We couldn't listen to sermons. All we had was the Word of God. And I was speaking it. I was confessing it. I was before my eyes. I got it in my head. Got it in my heart. The seed was being planted. I got home that night, and nothing had happened. There was no change. So it was bedtime, so I crawled in bed. I was getting ready to lay down. I was setting up because I knew that when I laid down, it was going to be hard to breathe. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, or out of my spirit, rather, I would say not out of nowhere, but out of my spirit, I heard God say, what an audible voice, but in my spirit, man. He said, if you truly believed that I healed you, you could sleep any way you want to. Think about that. Because normally, and this has been happening a few nights, any way I would lay, it would take my breath away. But see, the word of the Lord came to me because I had spent time in the word. I wasn't realizing what I was doing. Nobody had taught me about, you know, meditating on the scripture that much. I was just doing it, hoping that I could connect with heaven and get an instant healing. But what happened, I had put 4 hours of meditating, pondering, muttering the word of God that night. And so when the time came for me to lay down and go to sleep, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, you truly believe that I healed you and I took your pain, then you could sleep any way on your head if you wanted to. Come on now. So it just boom on the inside of me. And I said, yeah. Faith, title deed. Faith, yes, sir. So I purposely, I said, in the name of Jesus, I agree with your word. Jesus, you bore this pain, and you carried it in your body 2,000 years ago. Therefore, I don't have to carry it. You have already done it, and in the name of Jesus, I'm going to lay down, and therefore, I'm healed. And you know what? I laid down, and from that point on, there was absolutely no more pain. I was healed. Hallelujah. But I had to contend for it, and that's when I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how I was doing it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We don't have to get it 100% perfect. Hallelujah. Because the Word is perfect. The Word is perfect. And you might have to spend more than 4 hours, depending how the situation that you're in. But the point is, it has to get beyond your head and get into your heart. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, okay? You can do New King James if you want to. And we'll go ahead and finish with that portion of Scripture. Because this is really the prescription right here. If you're believing God for healing in your body or anything else. It says, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. All right? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Your heart. All right? For they are life to those who find them. Find them, okay? And health to what? All their flesh. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. For they're a life to them that find them. And folks, I don't know what you're believing God for tonight, but I'm telling you right now that as you get into God's Word, whether you see by faith, you should see the answer, amen? But you're planting seed. You're planting seed. And how many of you are gardeners? You plant gardens, all right? They don't come up overnight. You have to go, keep the weeds out. You have to take care of it. You have to, make sure everything is right in your garden. Keep the animals away and so on and so forth. But you keep that seed. You plant that seed in your heart. Hallelujah. Keep it for your eyes. Keep it. You meditate day and night. And the Word itself is what's going to work. The Word. There's power in the Word. Where, there's power in the seed. How many of you have seen a plant growing up in a rock? How many of you ever seen a rock split? It's all because of a seed. There is power in the seed. There's power in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. There's power. Hallelujah. Where it says, my God supplies all of your needs according to his riches. But I don't have money to put gas in my car now. I talked to somebody worldly the other day and said, yeah, I have this SUV truck, big truck. I just took it to Rhode Island and parked it in my mom's driveway because it cost $100 and some to fill it up on my own, Of course, he didn't have Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. During times and seasons in our life, we've got to focus on the promises of God. That's the only way we're going to make it through and survive. Amen? Hallelujah. We are warriors. Glory to God. And when, like the Bible says, we read that scripture, when they used their faith, they were courageous, and they pulled the heaven's armies, hallelujah, into their warfare, into their fight, glory to God. So you and I are not alone in what we're believing God for in the season that we're in. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised, You might have pain tonight, but you could be pain-free in a moment's time. Hallelujah. I was listening to one minister, prophet of God. He was saying the greatest revelation that God has used in his life as far as healing, because we all get attacked, was that scripture there in Matthew chapter 8, where himself, meditate on that, himself, Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Woo, glory to God. He's my healer. He's been there, and he's fought the battle for you. Amen. Thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. For these people that came out tonight, because we are warriors in the kingdom. And we declare your kingdom come. Your will be done in our families, in our bodies, in our finances, in our towns, in our country, in the nations. Jesus, you're Lord. You're Lord. You're Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Come on, just lift up your hands and minister to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank him for sparing your life. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That you've lived under divine protection all of these years. No weapons formed against you will prosper. No trick of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah, because you're abiding under the shadow of the Most High. Glory to God. 1,000 will fall at one my side and 10,000 on my other side. Yet it shall not touch me. Think about that. That we have to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Glory to God. Oh, we worship you. Let's just worship God. I'm going to have the worship team just lead us in worship. We'll see what God wants to do tonight. The Holy Spirit is here to touch our lives. Oh, we thank you for the glory. Thank you for the fire of God, holiness of God. We give you praise. Go ahead, worship team. Lead us in worship. If you feel like coming up to the front, just worship the Lord however God leads you to do. And we'll, if the Holy Spirit wants to do something else, we'll go that direction. But let's just minister to the Lord, all right? Just let him fill you.